Hello, I'm Owen. Welcome to Wellspring Baptist Church Podcast. We're glad you're listening. For more information on all that's going on at Wellspring, please visit www.wellspringbaptistchurch.org. I hope this message is a blessing to you.
Turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 21. But before we read, I want to ask you a couple questions. First, are you ready? Are you ready to hear it? Are you ready to hear God's word? And hearing it's half of it, isn't it? Are you ready to receive it? Are you ready to receive it? We want to know that there's good ground. We want to know that there's some good soil out there. We know that that makes all the difference. That makes all the difference whether you leave today full or empty, whether you leave today saying, I've heard from the Lord, I've heard his word speak to my heart. So, are you ready? All right, let's go then. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus had passed over again by the ship, into the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. And she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be healed. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And he looked around about and to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him
and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any farther? And as soon as Jesus heard it, the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe.
Yeah.
What a great passage of scripture. Amen. So we begin this passage. He asks the question, who is Jairus?
Well, the Bible clearly says he's a ruler of the synagogue.
So I got to imagine that in his life, he may have been used to people coming to him, coming to the synagogue with their problems, with their burdens, with their cares, coming to the synagogue with their troubles and with their issues, right? But now he's in trouble. Now his family is in trouble. In verse 23, you see, you can almost read it in those words. If you read it as I assume he said it, you can hear. I mean, he says, my little girl is about to die. Can you imagine that? That pain? We find later she's 12 years old. He says, my little girl's about to die. Oh, Jesus, help me, right? Help us. You see great faith here in Jairus. He says, Lord, if you would only come and touch her, if you would just come to my house and touch her, she'll be healed and she will live. And I like what Jesus said. Let's go. That's what the Bible says. He comes to him and he says, Jesus went with him. You know, the guy comes to him. I think it's not that hard, is it? The Bible tells us, ask and it shall be given unto thee. Ask and it shall be given unto thee. So he begins to go with Jairus and the multitude follows as well. You see that? The multitude comes with him. They're thronging him. He's enclosed by a huge crowd of people. But they were not following the Lord in faith, were they? They were spectators. They hear this conversation and they're like, we got to see this. I mean, let's see what happens. Let's just go, right? I mean, let's get, as close as we can. We want good seats for this show. I want to see it. I want to see what happens. I want to see the action. You know what they were? They were just observing. They were just observing. They were spectators. I believe there's a lot of that today. There's a lot of that where people are just watching, just looking, getting kind of close, but they're not really engaging in their faith. And the Lord is following Jairus and in the middle of this crisis slash miracle, another comes to the Lord. Verse 25 and 26, this woman, she has an issue for 12 years. For 12 years, the Bible says she's been suffering. She's been suffering. I believe that there had been so many negative consequences through what she had gone through in her health and in her personal life and in society and all these different things. The Bible says that she had spent all that she had, telling us that she was willing to give anything and everything to be healed from this plague. She was willing for anything to happen and she was willing to try all kinds of things. The Bible says she tried many things. Every time someone would come to her and say, hey, there's a way for you to be healed, right? If you just do this or do that and give us some money, you'll get better, right? And she'd try it. What did she have to lose? She was trying everything over these 12 years. But the truth of the matter was that she was only getting worse. And one day Jesus passed by. Now she'd heard about the things that Jesus had done. She'd heard about the miracles that he did. And just one day, by coincidence, Jesus passed by. Do you believe that? That it was by coincidence that Jesus passed by this woman on that day? No, it was not by coincidence. She says this. Look at verse 27. I love this definition of faith. I love this definition of faith. Verse 27. And when she heard of Jesus, came. That's it. When she'd heard of Jesus, when she'd heard of who he was, when she heard of what he'd done, when she'd heard of what he could do, she came. When she'd heard about Jesus, she came to Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful definition of faith? It's not just enough to hear about Jesus. I think, you know, over the last 2,000 years, so many have heard about Jesus. So many have heard that he rose from the dead. So many have heard that he raised the dead. So many have heard of the miracles and the things that he's done. But how many really have come? How many really have come to Jesus? You know what Jesus has said? You know what Jesus says? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you think that's a promise? Do you think that applies to you? Did it apply to her? Absolutely. She heard. And she tried everything else. She tried everything else. And I can just imagine this woman. You gotta think. You gotta try and think of her desperation. She said, that Jesus is passing by. I will not let this opportunity pass. I won't just let him come and go. I won't let him just go by and say that I saw him, right? No. I got to touch him, right? I have to but just touch the hem of his garment. And you know what she said? I will not. There's a chance. Maybe I'll get healed. No, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And guess what? She was. She was healed. She felt it. She knew it. She knew that she was healed. And there was a throng of people pressing up against it. You've been in these situations before, you know, where you have to fight your way through folks. And if there's someone in the middle that everybody wants to get close to, it's not easy, is it? I mean, she just didn't say, excuse me, can I get to Jesus? There was nothing stopping her. She didn't have any money. This was her only hope. This was her last chance. This was it for her. She was not going to let anything stop her from getting to Jesus. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anyone stop you from getting to Jesus. She said, I've got to get there. I've got to just touch. Everybody's touching him, right? The disciples said, when Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? I mean, everybody's pressing against him. He's just walking with the whole group and everybody's touching him. And Jesus said, hold on. In the midst of all these people, and thousands maybe, in the midst of all these people, somebody just accessed my power. Somebody, one person out of all these people, just tapped in. Somebody, one person, hold on, somebody actually touched me. The hem of his garment, and you know what? Virtue went out of him, right? Virtue. I think this is interesting. There's a multitude. There's throngs of people, and two people, Jairus and this woman, tapped into the power source. Could you be that close and yet miss it? There was all kinds of people touching him, but one tapped in. Virtue, the Bible said, had gone out of him. What's that mean? That power had gone out of him. Strength, this moral goodness. You know what went out of him? His righteousness. His righteousness. And you say, how can we access it? How can we access the power of God? How do we access the righteousness of God? Can you say, by faith? By faith. Now, Jesus has all power in heaven and earth. He is the only righteous one. He's the only righteous one. And the man standing there in front of all this multitude, in front of all this throng of people, had the power to speak the heavens into existence. Jesus Christ had the power to speak the heavens into existence. He had the power to frame the earth and put everything that is in it there and make it all consist, hold it all together, right? The power, can I just say this? The power is always there. The power is here today. The power is here today. You just have to have something to draw it out. You just have to have the right plug-in. You got to be able to plug into the power source, right? The Bible, this Bible, has power. This is a supernatural, living, this is the living Word of God. It always has the power. It's an endless well. It's an endless well springing up. But you know what? When you come to the well, you have to have something to draw with. You have to have something to tap into it. And how do you tap into it? How do you draw the power? How do you draw the strength? How do you draw for His righteousness? Can someone answer? By faith. Hold your finger there. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Hope we have ears to hear, hearts to receive this message. Romans 5 starts with a therefore. I love the therefores in Romans. It's like a little road map. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified, just as if I never sinned, justified by what? We have peace with God. There's only one way to have peace with God. And that is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ by His blood. There's only one way to have peace with God. And that is through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ and His shed blood. It's only one way. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Is His grace limited? I think of the verse where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. There's not a shortage on His grace. We're not worried that His grace will run out. And how do we access this great, amazing grace? How do we access it? It says it right there. By faith. We have access. By faith. Is anything too hard for God?
You're going to have to talk to me a little bit in this message. Is anything too hard for God?
What about your issue? You know, it's easy. He can create anything. He can make anything. Absolutely. But my problem, I don't know. Right? My issue, I'm not sure. The one thing that maybe you've been suffering with for 12 years. He has the same power today. The Lord has the same power today. He has the same grace. He has that same secret code. There's an access code to that great grace. You know what it is? It's faith. It's faith. We can't talk about faith without going to Hebrews chapter 11. So let's go there. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It's always been called the heroes of the faith. It says, by faith this and by faith that. By faith they did and acted upon what God had told them to do. By faith, verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he what? please God? How do you think he pleased God? Do you think Enoch was really, really well behaved? You think he sat still in his chair
when his teachers told him to? You know what I mean? And he was quiet when he was supposed to be quiet. And you think Enoch was just really, really well behaved?
You think that's what pleased God? It says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him, no matter how well behaved. It's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he and that he a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's some rewards in God. There's some rewards in God. You know what the greatest reward is? Himself. Himself. That you can know God. That you can have a relationship with God. He'll reward you with that. But Enoch pleased God. How did he please God? By faith. By faith. And you know what? He had that testimony. You know, there's a way of life. There is a way of life. Meaning he had that testimony here on this earth. Not just to God, but to those around. He had that testimony. And you know what? I would say this. So did this woman in Mark chapter 5. For the last 2,000 years, we've been talking about her testimony. You know what she did? She pleased God. She pleased God. So did Jairus. He had that testimony that he what? Pleased God. Wellspring, I think this would be the one of the greatest testimonies that we could have is that we pleased God by faith. Amen. That we were a group of people that were sincere and that we just believed that he is. And that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can I tell you that no one here in Hebrews chapter 11, and there's some folks, men and women in this chapter that did some mighty things through the power of God. None of them were good. Let me say this. None of them were righteous. No, not one. Not Rahab the harlot, not Samson, not David, not even Abraham. Abraham was not righteous in and of himself. The Bible tells us his righteousness was imputed to him. The Bible says that in Genesis 15 and verse 6, and he, Abraham, believed in the Lord. I love this verse and each word in it. It says, believed in the Lord. I'll hear it tell you, God told Abraham some things that were unbelievable.
Yep. Yes, sir.
God told Abraham some things that were unbelievable. Like, you're going to have a child, you and Sarah, in your old age. He's like, I'm as good as dead. Right? I'm as good as dead. There's no way that we can have a children. There's no way. But you, it doesn't say, it says he believed in the Lord. There's a big difference there. There's a difference in believing what's being said and believing in the Lord that said it. It's almost like the natural, unbelievable, but if God says it, believable. If he's the one that says it, I believe in the Lord. You got to consider the source.
Yes, sir.
You got to consider the source. If the Lord said it, he says he believed in the Lord. And he, God, counted it to him for righteousness. Faith pleases God. This is not a new thing, by the way. This is not a New Testament thing. Can I tell you, faith has always pleased God. From Abel on down. It's not a secret either. This is not a secret. How you access the righteousness of God is not a secret. How do you access it? By faith. Now I got to stop for just a second and say, faith is not, it's not like we have faith in faith, right? It's not just like, you know, we just believe everything, right? We have faith in God. It says, we must believe, I love this, in Hebrews 11, 6. We must believe he is and that he is. That's the thing. See, it's the object of our faith that makes all the difference. Right? For a man or woman of faith, it's arrogant to think, oh, my faith is great.
Because it's actually the faith is in and of itself is nothing. It is the object of our faith. It's who our faith is in. He is. He is what? He is everything that he says he is in the Bible. He is creator, right? He is the creator. He made everything. He is the King of Kings. He is the first. He is the last. He is almighty, right? He's Savior. He is who he says he is. God is Jesus Christ. He is the express image of God. Faith is believing he is. He is. He is who he says he is. He has all power in heaven and earth, and nothing is too hard for him. In Hebrews 11, all these people access God by faith. They found the secret that is no secret. I mean, it's from the beginning to the end. If you miss it, we don't know how. He tells us over and over and over. It'd be interesting if some Bible teacher or something like that had comes and acts as though they found some new thing, some great revelation. I think the thing that will really change our lives and change our hearts is as plain as can be. Only believe. Believe in him. The power is out there for whosoever. The power is there. You just have to turn the receiver on. It's like the radio waves that are in the air, right? You got to, in order to hear it, you have to have a radio. You got to turn the radio on. You have to have the receiver, right? Look at Hebrews 11. You're in 11:11. 11:11. You're in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she, what? Judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful. And you know what? Her faith, by faith, she was able to receive. She had the receiver. She was able to receive what? Virtue. She was able to receive strength. She was able to receive. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So we must hear the word of God. But it's not enough to just hear it, is it? We have to act on it. You have to put it to action. We have to do it. I really believe. If we really believe that Jesus is who he says he is. He is who he is. Why would we be afraid? Right? Why would we be fearful? Why would we be afraid? The Bible says that Abraham believed in the Lord. And God counted it to him for righteousness. God did some accounting in Abraham's life. He imputed something to his account that wasn't his. He moved some things over into Abraham's account. How? By faith. See, the full transaction of the salvation, of the imputed righteousness, is when we engage in what the Lord says by faith. Faith is the currency that God accepts. That's what it is. That's the currency in which we, you know, I have some Indian rupees. I could go down here to the Centerville Kroger and you know what? They won't accept it. They won't accept it. And can I tell you, God doesn't accept our intellect. He doesn't accept our good behavior. He doesn't accept our good works. He doesn't accept our self-righteousness. He doesn't accept our religious activities. You know what he accepts? And all he accepts? Faith. It's faith that God accepts. And when he does, you get to see the power of God in your life, in our lives, when we believe, only believe. We're still in Hebrews 11. Look at what he says about so many in verse 33. Hebrews 11, verse 33, it says, who through faith, all these people, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies, the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. You say, how did they do it? By faith. You know, you may go through something in your life and God works a great thing in your life, and someone will come by later and say, how'd you do it? By faith. I believed in Him. I believed Him. That great miracle.
I mean, the greatest of all miracles.
Salvation. God giving new life, eternal life to someone is offered here today. The power of eternal life is offered here today and now. Right now. How?
By faith.
By faith. Jesus said it to this to her daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. You know, don't stop believing. Believing in Him that He is, that He is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? The things hoped for. We have hope because of Him. He is our hope. The enemy is here today trying to steal your hope. That's what he'll do. He'll try to make you doubt. He'll try to make you not believe. That's what happened to the people around Jairus there in verse 35 back in Mark 5. They came, they said, your daughter is dead. That's what they came. That's what they said. They said, your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any farther? Verse, you know, people will, you know, they may have been well-meaning, but you know what they lacked? Faith. The creator of the universe was on his way. And they're like, you know, it's too late, right? Why trouble the Lord? Like, he could have helped, but he's too late. Can I tell you something? I know you know this. The Lord is never too late. He is always on time. It's us that got the timing off. He is always on time. What you're facing today, He is always on time. He's always on time. You know what? This is what the people said. The people said it's too late. The people said, don't bother the master. But can I tell you a little secret? It really doesn't matter what they say. You know what really matters? What does He say? I mean, He was still on His way. This didn't take Him by surprise. What does He say? Like, really, what does He say? Verse 36. What does He say? He says, be not afraid. Only believe. Does He say, be not afraid, only believe in what? Nothing. Only believe. Like the apostle says, above all, taking that shield of faith, right? Above all, the people are laughing in verse 30. You know what they were? The people all around, the multitude, they were spectators. They were spectators. They were there, and Jesus says, you know what? I'm only going to take a few into the house to see this. I'm only going to take Peter, James, and John, and her mom and dad. You know, I believe that this happens at church. There's a chance that this is happening this morning, here and now. That you can have people getting answers from the Lord, hearing from the Lord. I mean, like, really, like, God's touching their heart. He's filling them up. They're making life-changing decisions in their life. There's miracles that are happening in the pew, in front of you, and behind you. And there are people that are like, you know, I didn't get anything. I'm not hearing anything, right? Totally focused on worldly things, right? Leave saying, I didn't hear from the Lord. Can I tell you that there's nothing a matter with the seed? There's no problem with the seed. There's no problem with the Word of God. You know what the problem is? Probably the receiver. There's maybe not turned on. Maybe there's no faith mixed with it, right? No faith mixed with the Word to hear from the Lord. I got to tell you, when we're reading the Scripture, if you're not hearing something, it's not the Lord's fault. We can guarantee you that. He'll speak to those that come to Him. He'll speak to those that ask. He'll speak to those that come to Him in faith. And we see His power, verse 41. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel rose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat.
He said, don't tell all those spectators. This was just for those that believed. This was just for those that really believed. You don't have to tell all them, right? This is just between us.
Sometimes the Lord will do that for you. Sometimes he'll do a great and mighty miracle in your life. And then you try to tell someone, hey, look, this is what God has done for me. It's the most amazing thing. And they're looking at you like, what? But in your own heart, you know that God worked on your behalf. You know that God did mighty things for you. You know that he's at work in your life. You know it. You see his power. He touched her and raised her from the dead. Can I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ has power over death. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says this, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Praise ye the Lord. Jesus is that stronger man. We read this a couple weeks ago in Mark. Remember, the scribes came from Jerusalem to Jesus and accused him that he was doing his miracles, casting Satan out by the power of Satan. That's what they said. And Jesus said, no man can enter into the strong man's house and spoil the goods except he first bind the strong man. And then he shall spoil his house. What Jesus is saying is, Satan has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's come to bring death. He's come to hurt and to destroy people's lives. And what Jesus is saying is, no man can go in there and take what is the devil's. No man can come and overpower that strong man except he bind him up first. And Jesus Christ is proving each time that he does a little miracle, each time that man came in who had a withered hand and saw the effects of sin in this man's life. You know what the Lord said? I can walk in the devil's house any day I want and take what's his. Be healed. When he says, thy sins be forgiven thee, you know what he says? I can walk in the strong man's house any time I want. I'm going to give you a little taste of what will be. I am the stronger man. He says, be healed. When the storm is raging and the disciples are afraid, you know what he says? I want to show you, I got power over creation. He says, peace, be still. And when a little 12-year-old girl lay there dead on her bed, and the parents were heartbroken, our Savior walked into the strong man's house and said, I want to show you that I got power over death. For anyone who ever questions, I want to show you that I got power over death. I want to show you that you don't have to be afraid of death. I want to show you that I am the stronger man. And all you have to do is only believe in me. I can do anything. He is that stronger man. Can I get a hallelujah? Praise ye the Lord. Amen. He's translated us from the power of death. The moment that you believed, the moment that you were saved. Last passage, Colossians 1, verse 13 and 15. The Bible says, who, Jesus Christ, hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He already has. If you're in Christ, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us, like Enoch. We've been translated and will be. Hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He's got the power to do all that. He wouldn't say that he did it, that he translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, that he forgave us of our sins, if he didn't have the power to do it. He said it because he has the power to do it. Is that your experience? I mean, you know, for those that are saved and born again, this isn't just words on a page. You know what? When she was healed, when she touched the hem of his garment, you know what she said immediately? I know that I'm healed. I felt it. When I read these verses, this isn't just theory for a believer. This isn't just a theory. This is something that you felt, that you know, that I've been translated. I'm now a child of God. I have the indwelling Holy Spirit. I know that now death has no power over me. I've been forgiven. My sins are forgiven. It says, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? He is. He is who he says he is. You say, what do we got to do? Believe? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I read that this morning in my regular Bible reading in 2 Corinthians 6:1. It says, now is the day of salvation. And when I read that this morning, you know what I hoped in my heart and believed? Now is the day of salvation for someone here. For someone here to be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, to have their sins forgiven. Would you today? Would you call on the Lord Jesus Christ? He is willing to forgive you of all your sins. Just ask, right? Just believe in him, that he is, that he will help us with our issues, the things that we deal with in a daily basis. Would you believe on Jesus Christ for salvation? Would you? Maybe we'd take a moment of prayer with our heads bowed. I want to put my faith in him and only believe. Maybe it's some issues in our life, some things that we've been struggling with and suffering with for so long. He is the stronger man. He's the one that can give us deliverance. He is the one. Believe in him. Cast your cares on him, for he careth for you. Would you believe in him? This is not for spectators. This is not for just observation. This is that you hear his word, and then you take that step. You believe, and you trust in him, that he is who he says that he is.
Thanks for taking the time to listen today. We'd love to hear from you and learn how you've been encouraged or challenged by this podcast. Leave a comment on the Contact Us page on our website or write to us at 2094 East State Route 73, Waynesville, Ohio, 45068. And feel free to visit us if you're in the South Dayton, Ohio area.